Thank God for His amazing grace and amazing mercy as well. Amen. God's good, isn't He? Say amen. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And the Hebrew word for goodness is the same root word for the word grace that we experience in the New Testament. His grace and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And years ago, Dr. Billy Connoy explained that. He said, it's like sheepdogs. Those shepherds over there in Israel and other places have dogs quite often. And you'll see them. I saw them in Germany when I was in Germany. And you watch those dogs. Boy, they'll work those sheep and everything else. And those, he said, those shepherds would lead the sheep. And the sheepdog would kind of follow along behind. If one got out of line, he'd push him back in. When he get on this side, he'd push him back in. And so he said, God's got two sheepdogs following us. One of them's mercy and one of them's grace. Mercy is what we need when we disobey Him. And grace is what we need when we go through struggles and trials. And thank God for that. He'll keep us on the right path. Amen. Are you glad you're here? Say amen. 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 For those in at home, if you're glad you're there, say amen. We didn't hear y'all, but we heard the folks here. But we thank you for being here if you can. And please, we want to tell you, I talked with a pastor friend who called me and asked me for some advice about closures and what. And I said, I don't have a clue. But I told him, I said, let me just tell you this. I said, oh, it was in regard to revival. I was supposed to go preach in a couple of days, a few weeks actually. And I told him, I said, Brother Lloyd, I will not think you're unspiritual if you don't have it. I think you might be wise. And so that's the message I got a few days later. And so just because you didn't come in the building this morning, you've obeyed what you felt like the Lord wanted you to do. And I'm glad that you're there. Thank you for being a part, though. We want you to know that you're a part. And in the next little while, and we'll be more definitive about that a little later, you can join us at home on the internet. And we'll have occasions when you can assemble in limited numbers here with us. Amen. I find the book of Joel, and if you're like me, some of those lesser prophets or the 12 lesser prophets, a little harder to find. But if you'll find the book of Isaiah, that's easy. That's the Old Testament, big book. And then go all the way to the end of those major prophets is the book of Daniel. And then you begin what's called the minor prophets. And you'll have Hosea first and then Joel. So if you can find the big book of Daniel and take a right, you'll find the book of Joel. Amen. I'm trying to help you. And or either look in the index if you don't know about where it's at. But if your Bible's like mine, has that the real onion skin type paper, they stick together, and two or three of those minor prophets will stick together. We had a great turnout yesterday for the men's prayer breakfast and a great time of season of prayer. I really appreciate Brother Calvin having a burden and making contacts like he did, and that just points up the fact that it's so important for us to follow up and to check on people. And he mentioned a family that didn't receive, they didn't think, the proper number of visits from our church family during the time. But and we do miss people, but it's hard for me to know everybody or see everybody in the building on Sunday morning. And so I encourage you, if you miss somebody and they're not where they're supposed to be, even if they're visiting, been coming sometime, please give them a call. Try to find out where they are and encourage them. Find out if they're sick, if they have a need. And we, Ms. Peggy Crocker, we need to remember her in prayer. She's been out. She's been visiting with us. It's right over here. But she's been out for a while. She had to have a port put in as well. Well, I'm going to share with you just real quickly, and I'll get you out of here, and we'll get home and have time to turn around and come back at 2 if you're going to come back. But I want to have you look at the book of Joel. I'm going to read a text in a moment. But before I do that, I'm going to make some general comments about our situation. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Amen. I may get sick tomorrow. You may get sick tomorrow. Christians do get sick. How many believe that? Say amen. Amen. But we're not given to a spirit of fear. But God does say we are to have a sound mind. And with a sound mind, we make good choices and we do what God would have us do, which means in some cases obey biblical commands, in some ways to obey governmental commands, and that's what I was talking about. Paul admonished the Romans to be subject to Rome, to their laws, and to render unto Caesar the things of Caesar's. And as good citizens, we do that. So, and I'm a real believer in keeping the law, whatever it is. You want to try to do that because of your testimony and to be a good citizen. And so it's nothing anti-Christian. It's just something that has come. And so we need to have that right spirit about it and understand that we are going to comply to that. We don't want to have a gathering over 100, but we will let you know more about how we plan to do our services ongoing and what we're going to do. But certainly we will be on the internet at least on Sunday mornings and Wednesday night and have time to do that. Now, with that said, I was trying to think about, I was thinking in my own heart about some things. We are not given to fear, but we are given to faith. We are to believe God. I believe God's in control of this. I believe God is sovereign, but by that means that God's in control of everything. And he's not alarmed by what's going on, but God is sovereign. He's over everything. And, you know, Daniel was thrown in the lion's den and the children in the fiery furnace. Those are tough times to go through. But God was in all of that. God took care of them. Job, you think about Job. The Bible said in one day, Job lost everything he had. And then he lost his health from the top of his head to the sole of his foot. He was only one old burning, running sore. And yet he did not curse God. And so I want you to understand that this is what's going on. But you have to maintain your right spirit as a Christian. Number one, you got to have faith. I believe God. I'm going to trust God. And whatever happens and how it happens, I'm going to be obedient to God. And then you have to watch your spirit and gird up the loins of your mind, because we don't want to be fearful and we don't want to be bitter. People develop a little bit of bitterness about decisions made by our governor or other people. And you can't do that because somebody said you can't get the devil in you trying to get the devil out of somebody else. So it is what it is, okay? And so we're going to do that. We're not going to murmur and complain. We're going to worship God and praise the Lord and worship Him. And then I got to thinking about the idea of, you know, being at home. Well, I got to thinking about, I thought, the best Old Testament example of that. The children of Israel in bondage into Egypt, and God had purposed to deliver them out. And so He sent a series of plagues on them. And quite often, God does send plagues. I'm not prepared to say this is a plague that God sent, but it certainly has caused people, got their attention, hadn't it? But God sent certain plagues, nine in the very beginning, on the nation of Egypt to cause them to let the children of Israel go. But yet, when those plagues came on them, on the Egyptians, the land of Goshen, which they had the Jews lived on, they didn't experience that. God preserved them, kept them. It was everywhere, but God kept them. The last one, the ninth one, or not the last one, but the next to the last one, was darkness. And it's always amazed me when you go and look in your Bible in Exodus that when it says darkness was out throughout all the land of Egypt, but in the houses of those Jews, there was still light. They had light inside their houses. Isn't that good? Amen. They didn't have fluorescent. They didn't have the LED. They had the G-O-D light inside of them, praise God. They had the light of God in their houses. God took care of them. But then came that last final plague. It was the death of the firstborn. And God used that. Of course, it's a picture of the death and burial and resurrection of Christ, and that's where Passover comes from. But He said, I'm going to send one last plague. It'll be the death of the firstborn of all the land. And He said, on this particular night, the death angel will go through, and the death of the firstborn will occur in animals and everybody all the way up to the Pharaoh's house, the death of the firstborn. He said, but I want you to take blood and you put it on the doorposts and lintels of your house. And He makes this specific statement in chapter number 12, verse 32. They would apply the blood, and they were to stay in their house until morning. God put them in isolation. He said, there's a plague coming, and it's a death plague, but you stay in the house for your protection. So now you look at this week and the few next coming days, as God's given you an opportunity, and it just makes good sense for your protection. God allows you to have things, and so He put them and told them to stay inside for their protection. When you study the Old Testament, like many of you have been probably, some of you maybe got through the Old Testament. You read a lot faster than I do. We're reading through our Bible. You've been reminded of a lot of the laws that the Lord gave in regard to cleansing and disease. They practiced isolation. If somebody had a disease, they were to be isolated from the people. And they practiced cleansing and hygiene and all those things. And he gave them guidelines that if there's sickness, disease, there's certain things you're supposed to do. It's just good common sense. You know, you stay away from it. You get them away from you. And so that's what this is all about. So don't get scared. Don't get frightful. Just understand it is what it is. And it's, you know, actually it's a biblical guideline. And so just approach it like that and accept it like that and just understand that God has a plan. We're not given to fear. But caution is not lack of faith. You understand? And so if you're cautious and you practice personal hygiene or you practice even isolation, that is not a lack of faith. In some cases, it'd be an act of obedience. So just have the right spirit about it. Now look at Joel, and I'm going to be through. Even on a time when we're not even supposed to be having church, my time gets gone in a hurry. So I'm going to get through in a hurry. But I was talking to Tom Wagner this week, and he made reference to a verse here in the book of Joel. He didn't say he was going to preach on it, but we were just talking about different things in regard to what's going on. And he made reference to the book of Joel. And so God kind of sparked something in my heart. So I want you to go with me to the book of Joel, look in chapter 2 and at verse 12. I trust by now you've found it. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your heart and not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord our God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, those that suck the breast, let the bridegroom go forth in his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priest and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thy heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Now, if you study the book of Joel, you read the book of Joel, you know the history of Israel. Joel is a prophet to the southern kingdom, which is Judah. After Solomon, the kingdom divides. And Rehoboam is the king in the south. Jeroboam, the 10 tribes to the north. And Samaria becomes their capital. But Joel was a prophet here. And he is talking about the Assyrian captivity that was coming, the Babylonian captivity that was coming. And he's talking about God judging them because of their sin and their unfaithfulness. But still, even up to the last minute, he's pleading for them to repent and get right with God. And this is the context, but in the prophetic picture, it pictures Israel during the tribulation period. Now, some of you, we had a horrific wreck here on 95 yesterday. We got caught in that traffic coming back from Fayetteville. And then when we went back to the funeral home last night, there were police cars and everything, all the intersections, people everywhere, hear sirens blaring. And, it was something. Regina said, if it's like this today, what's it going to be like during the tribulation period? Well, it's going to be total pandemonium. It's going to be total. When the church is raptured out, it's going to be a mess. And the world's going to clamor for a one world leader. They're going to get him. It'll be Antichrist. But that's not the purpose of a message. I want to draw application. Now, if you interpret this passage of Scripture, it's talking about Israel in that day, but it's also talking about the coming days of Israel as well. But I want to apply it to us this morning, just very briefly. Pray with me for a moment. Heavenly Father, I pray God the Holy Ghost right now, God would give me a word. God, in these days, our Father, there is something far more dangerous than the virus, and it is sin. Sin in the life of a lost person. The wages of sin is death. And without knowing Christ and having their sins forgiven and being washed in the blood, our Father, they'll be in hell for all eternity. But God, what a great horror, what a great danger it is for a Christian to allow sin in their life. It robs us of our Christian joy. It robs us of our power, our testimony. And Father, I pray, God, that you'd help us, our Father, to take every occasion we can, even this time, as our presence calls us today to a day of prayer, that, God, this would be a day of prayer for us, but also a day of searching our hearts. As David said, search my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me. And God, I pray, God, that you'd help us all to be right with you. We might experience personal revival. And our Father, I bow before you and acknowledge and confess that there's no good thing in me. And God, apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, nothing of eternal consequence will take place. But God, speak now, and I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice in the first place in this passage of Scripture that the prophet up to the very end is pleading with them. Who said, who knows if God might just turn this thing? Our brothers and sisters to the north have been taken captive by the Assyrians. And we've committed the very same sins. And on the horizon is a dark cloud of the Babylonian Empire that's going to come take us. But if we would repent, if we would fast and turn from our sin and turn to you, that God might even change his mind. He might stop that great army from coming in on us, and he might send revival in our land to the very last minute. And I'm going to tell you right now, until Jesus comes, I'm going to keep preaching that we can still have revival in America, that we can still have revival in our hearts, we can still have revival in our lives. And this ought to be a time of heart searching, but a time of revival. I'm telling you right now, it ought to be a time when you get so close to God and rejoice in him and thank him for what he's done that it'll make all the difference in the world. I note the reason that this is here is because, number one, of the rebellion of these people. They've rebelled against God. I won't take time to go back and read all of it, but if you go back to chapter number one, you can read and you can see where they have sinned against God, and he calls them to acknowledge their sin and obey God, and God will forgive them. They have rebelled against the Lord, and because of disobedience, they're experiencing what they're going through. And the virus may not be that. It may not be a plague. But I do know this, the plague of sin in our lives will rob us of our joy and our peace and our testimony. And we need that. We need to be full of the Holy Spirit of God. It will grieve the Holy Spirit of God in us. And the only thing that breaks our fellowship with God is disobedience and sin. And he wants us to walk in fellowship with him. And what is the remedy of it? The rebellion, but then the remedy. What is it that's got to take place? Well, it's got to be repentance and prayer. Notice he calls them to fasting, to repentance and prayer and mourning and turn from God, from their sin and turn to the Savior. I love that old song that we used to sing, nothing between my soul and the Savior, naught of this world's elusive dream, none of the pleasures of this world, nothing are worth his blessed presence in our life. We need to have a time with God. Don't let this get you down, let it get you up. Don't let it defeat you, let it give you victory. Don't let it cause you to have fear and doubts, but let it fill you with faith and joy and worship God. We're going to praise him. God's got a plan. I don't know what it is, but God's got a plan. And we must be clean before him. He said, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us. I going back through and reviewing over the Old Testament, I realized that the battles that happened in Israel through all their history were results of their disobedience in the very beginning. When they came into the land, they did not do what God told them to do. He told them to defeat these people, annihilate these people, tear down all their idols, rid the country of all these false doctrines. He said, if you don't, they'll become a thorn in your flesh. If you don't, you'll turn your children, your grandchildren will turn to those idols. And that's exactly what happened. So all the battles over the years with the Babylonians or with the Philistines and all those, it's because of the disobedience of generations past. And they reaped that in their life. And you and I, the only thing that breaks fellowship or robs us of our joy and power is our personal disobedience and our personal failure to obey God and do what he'd have us to do. And so you gotta be clean. But repentance means that you turn from that sin and you turn to the Savior. He called them and he pleaded with them to repent, turn, cry to God. He admonished the elders and the ministers and all to seek God and pray on the behalf of the people. And to seek God. Oh, you say, Brother Billy, what would happen if God did that? And that, here's the best part of it. Not only the rebellion that we see in this passage of Scripture and the remedy for that rebellion, which is repentance, but I want to know what it says about revival and restitution. In verse 18 and following, and he said, if you'll do those things, if you would repent, if you'd seek his face, if you'd confess your sin, if you'd be obedient, verse 18, then will the Lord be gracious for his land, and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. But I remove far from you the northern army, and will drive him into the land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hind part to the uttermost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pasture and the wilderness do spring, and the trees bear their fruit, and the fig trees and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain and the former rains and the latter rains in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and fat shall overflow the wine with wine and oil. And I will restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten, and the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the pommel worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, and that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and there is none else, and my people shall never be ashamed or disappointed. He said, look, if you'll seek God, if you'll get right with God, he'll give you those things. You'll be able to have no fear, but you can have rejoicing. You'll not be afraid, but you can have worship. You can be glad. You can have all the blessings of God. And here's the key. He said, I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten. In other words, you think you've wasted time. There was an old song I used to hear years ago, and I can't remember who sang it, but it was called Wasted Years, Wasted Years. Think about all those times that you wasted, all the mistakes of the past. You say, the devil will make you live back there if you can. But here's what he said. Here's what revival is all about. It's a time when God purges you. You confess your sin. You get clean. He fills you afresh with joy. He gives you great courage. And then he can send great power. The blessing of the oil and the wine and the corn, all that symbolizes the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. And then he said, and I'll restore the years the locusts have eaten. In other words, all the damage of the past. He said, I'll overbless you because of that. He said, you'll reap more in the last days than you ever have. And my dear friend, there's greater days ahead for you if you'll get right with God and if you'll seek God. Don't let this be something to discourage you and just kind of waiting and we're going to bide our time. Hey, make it a great time now. Worship at home. Seek the Lord every day of your life. Tell somebody about Jesus between now and when we have a chance that we can really all meet together once again. Let me encourage you, my dear friend, to be faithful to God. And if God speaks to your heart, you get right with him today. Let's stand together while our heads bowed and eyes are closed right now. And while we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, you read this. It's a continuous cycle. If you read it through the Old Testament over and over again, God's people are blessed of the Lord. They begin to take for granted the blessings of God. They begin to get involved in idolatry and everything else. They begin to become disobedient and unfaithful to God. They begin to worship other idols or to worship idols. And then God has to chasten them in various ways. And if they repent, God forgives them. He restores them and blesses them. And they see God's hand. My dear friend, I pray this morning that you'll be filled with what he said here. Be not afraid, rejoicing and praise and blessing and the presence and power of God. I didn't jump on down to the next verse where he talks about the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. And then he makes this wonderful statement that quite often is, and Paul used it in the New Testament, and that is this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In this reference, it's not talking about lost people, but it's talking about his people. And when they call out to him, he delivers them, he saves them. And I'm looking for God to do great things. He's not derailed us in what he wants to do. All of this, he knows about every bit of it. And so all the things that we feel like God wants us to do in the future, it's going to be real. It's going to happen right now. And here's what I'd like for us to do as we leave this morning. If you're here and you're not saved, we'd certainly love to see you saved. But we're going to close in a season of prayer. Brother Brad's going to sing a verse of a song if he's got something on his heart. Let me ask you to do this for our nation and for our church and for our families. Our president's asked us to make it a day of prayer. I'm going to invite you to come and kneel around the altar. And if you will, let's be respectful of some of the other guidelines. Don't crowd right together. Have space between you. Some around these front pews. But not everybody doesn't need to come down here. If you're at a pew, and I want you to pray for that particular pew, for folk who'll be in that pew in the days to come, and then pray for our nation and pray for this country. Pray that God would show mercy in regard to this virus, but pray that God would send revival, that there'd be a repenting of God's people and we could see revival. That while we're seeking Him for the healing of our physical bodies, we might seek Him more for the healing of our spiritual bodies. So gather around. We're going to pray together. We'll give you a minute. Let Brad sing one verse of a song, and I'll pray. Oh, God. Oh, Lord Jesus. Gives us everlasting life. I'm glad, our Father, that we can be washed in the blood and become whiter than snow. Lord, if there's a person in this building or in the radio audience, internet audience, or any of our media audience that God doesn't know you, I pray the convicting power of the Holy Ghost of God, and I pray, Father, they turn to you by faith and be saved. And Father, I pray for your people that, God, these days would be a day of prayer, fasting, seeking your face. God, I pray it'd be a time, our Father, when we rekindle our personal revival in our own heart and life. God, don't let these days leave us fearful and defeated and dragging. God, I pray we're not looking forward to better days ahead, but God, we'll experience a great day now. God, help us to walk in faith. Help us to rejoice in the Lord. This is the day the Lord's made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And God, I pray that, God, that not be a thing in my heart, anything in the heart of your people here today that would keep you from accomplishing your purpose in our lives. God, we want to have personal relationship with you, fellowship with you. We want to have the power of God on us. We want to be a faithful witness. And God, we can't do that if we're out of fellowship with you. So God, I pray that you'd make it a time of revival. Lord, we pray for our president today. I pray, God, that you'd give him the courage to make decisions he needs to make. For all the governmental leaders that are around him, I pray, God, for Vice President Pence, thank you for his testimony. I pray, God, he would have great influence in the cabinet and in the Oval Office, and God, that his godly nature and his love for you, our Father, they'd see it and they'd depend and look to him, and they too could have a walk with you. I pray, God, for all of our legislators on both sides of the aisles. I pray for every Democrat, for every Republican. God, in these days, that they too could experience personal revival. God, this virus, our Father's, is nothing compared to the great wrath that's coming during the tribulation period, when men will seek to die and cannot die, when, our Father, there'll be such devastation, such horrible judgment. God, I'm glad that you've not appointed us to wrath, but God, that we have been born again, washed in the blood. But God, I pray that we might have personal revival. God, for our friends here in the building today, for the great host of people in the media audience, I pray, God, that they would turn in their own heart, in their own home, right now to you. And God, put your finger on things in their lives that are not right. Help them to confess those things, make restitution where it needs to be done, and God to walk in faith and power and victory, because there's nothing between their soul and the Savior. God, send revival. Help us to love you and serve you. And we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.